Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
Our scripture reading this morning is from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 11, and you'll find it on page 281 in the Old Testament of the Pew Bible. Now, when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more, as formerly. From the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you the rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house.'" This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
So why are Joseph and Mary going to Bethlehem? Do you remember that the emperor was doing a universal census, and everyone had to travel to their birthplace to be registered? Apparently, in those times, it only mattered that the male members of the household had to be registered. Joseph was originally from Bethlehem, so that's where they had to go. According to the narrative in Luke, Joseph was descended from the house of David. This is very important. Today's scripture from 2 Samuel revolves around the founding of David's house. Taking a closer look at the scripture, we see the scene opening with David, the king, having coffee with his trusted prophet Nathan. David is living in a very luxurious palace and has been contemplating the fact that a tent is where the Ark of God is being stored. The Ark is the chest that carries the tablets with the Ten Commandments. Things are now peaceful in his kingdom, and David is probably feeling somewhat guilty that the ark isn't being properly housed. He's possibly already got ideas about what kind of structure or temple should be built for the ark. Can you imagine the grandeur he is doubtless envisioning? Certainly any other buildings would pale in comparison. David is positively bubbling with excitement to begin this undertaking. He decides it would be a good idea to present his plans to Nathan the prophet and see what he has to say. Nathan, without really giving it much thought, agrees and tells David to go ahead. That night, though, David and Nathan retire, David with the grand plans on his mind, and Nathan confident that he's given David the right advice. However, during the night, Nathan is given a message from God that changes the whole picture of what is to take place. As we read earlier, God tells Nathan to give a message to David saying, "Did I ever ask you to build me a house? All the times I have been with the people of Israel from the time I brought you out of Egypt and moved around with you, I've been in a tent. I've never asked you for this. I've been with you since you were a shepherd, through all your battles, and now as king. No, David, I don't want you to build me a house. No, I'm going to build you a house. Poor King David, I'll bet he didn't take that news too well. Believing that he was the king and should be able to do what he wants, he finds out that, in fact, God has other plans. Plans which David most likely doesn't understand. After all, he's the king. In Hebrew, the word for house is bayit, and can mean the physical structure, or in this case, a dynasty or line. Thus, the house of David comes from this term and often is mentioned throughout the Bible. This scripture is central to what is called the Davidic covenant. You've heard of the word covenant or promise before in the Bible. God made a twofold promise to Abraham. The first was a material promise that he would be the father of many nations and that kings would descend from him. God promised him that his offspring would inherit the land of Canaan, an expanse that he defined as stretching from the Nile to the Euphrates rivers. Later, he gave Moses the law to rule the people. Before David became king, he was first chosen by God through Samuel when he was a boy in Bethlehem, shepherding his father's flock of sheep. Later, he was triumphant in the slaying of the giant Philistine, Goliath. He eventually became king after the death of Saul. Times were peaceful for the people of Israel now, and David finally had a chance to do something for God. The trouble was, God didn't want it. In our scripture, God is preparing for something much greater to come from David's line. The legacy of David supports the prophecy of a greater king. The main emphasis of the Davidic covenant is the idea of perpetuity. That's my 50-cent word. David has wanted to build for God a permanent dwelling place, but God instead promised that he would establish for David an everlasting dynasty. Jacob, David's ancestor, had prophesied that the scepter would belong to the tribe of Judah until the coming of the one to whom such royal status truly belonged. This prophecy finds its initial fulfillment in the establishment of David's kingship. But the Davidic covenant looks not only to the fulfillment of past prophecies, but forward to the prophecies of the Messiah by later prophets. The Davidic covenant became the basis around which messages of hope proclaimed by Hebrew prophets of later generations were built. We don't really know why God chose David to be the person that would begin this dynasty. In fact, if we look at the descendants up to Joseph, we might only really recognize the name of his son Solomon as the one who did anything noteworthy. If you want to check out the names of David's heirs, try looking at chapter 1 of Matthew in the New Testament. Try pronouncing some of those names if you really want to work out. As a side note, I had to do it the very first time I was a liturgist. Too many years ago to mention. David didn't get to do what he had hoped, to build a temple. God said no. His expectation of creating something to honor God was not fulfilled in his lifetime, but he left a legacy of faithfulness to God for his son Solomon. Solomon did get to build the first temple, which stood for generations until the time of Nebuchadnezzar in 587 BCE, which is around the time of the Babylonian exile. In the Old Testament books of prophecy and the Psalms, there are many references of what we are to expect. Handel, in his classic oratorio, The Messiah, captures so many of these. If you've ever sung any of The Messiah or many of our favorite Christmas carols, you no doubt know what I'm talking about. Probably my favorite, not counting the Hallelujah chorus, has these words from Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We may have certain expectations this Christmas, but our expectations may not be what God has in mind for us. So we need to be ready to accept what comes to us with faith that God has our best interests in mind. God's promise to David is that he will be with us forever. Forever. How long?
Forever.
We have received a legacy from our ancestors that gives us faith in God and what will come from the expectations we have in the Messiah. Our family traditions and our church traditions teach us that from generation to generation, the love of God and each other is paramount. We're not alone. God says that he will be with us forever, and we know that what happens tonight in the city of David proves God's promise. Let us pray. God, please be with us tonight and our expectations. Let those expectations be for the honoring and love of our family and friends and the peace for this nation and all nations around the world. Amen. Amen.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.